This is Tony Broom Ministries with a teaching session from Mark chapters 15 and 16. The title is Jesus, Death and Resurrection.
Always good to be able to get together and have a little talk with Jesus, get together with God's people. It's a wonderful thing to be able to study God's Word together. And it's something that a lot of people would love to do. They don't have the opportunity to do it, but we can do it all the time. And we thank God, whether we do it in person, in our services, or whether we do it in our homes, watching live stream or by ourselves, God is with us right there where we are. Jesus suffered as no other man did. The mocking, scoffing, ridicule, suffering that he went through even before he went to the cross. And I thank God that all that he went through for us, he was crucified and died, he was buried, and now he's resurrected. Jesus is alive. Amen. And that chorus came, alive, alive. My Jesus is alive. Yes. Our golden text is Mark chapter 16, verse 6. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And our title, by the way, is Jesus, Death and Resurrection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached to you, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. When Paul mentioned those three things of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you'll notice that he said he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. He mentioned the burial, but he didn't stay there too long. That's just like Jesus. When he went to the grave, he went into the grave, but he didn't stay there but just 3 days. And on the third day, he rose again. And the burial is important, as long as you don't stay there. You've got to be resurrected. Now, a golden verse here talks about, I know you seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he was identified as Jesus of Nazareth because there were others who called themselves Jesus, but this one is the one who is undeniable, Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. You can come and you can look at the place where they laid him. It will assure your hearts that he's not here. Just like the burial, don't stay there too long either. It's all right to look at the place where they laid him, but don't stay too long, because we got a job to do. When Jesus was crucified, chapter 15, verse 16 of Mark, the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. This is a place where they're getting ready to execute a criminal, even though we know Jesus was no criminal, but that's what he was charged as. They called together the whole band, mocking, taunting, ridicule, all that continues. They put a purple robe on him. That was something that kings wore, but they were mocking him. He was and is the king of the Jews, but they didn't believe it. They didn't receive it. So now they mock. They made a crown of thorns, pressed it into his head. And you know the pain. The agony that he went through. You can go into your rose garden and rose bush, just one thorn. You know how it hurts. You can imagine a crown of thorns pressed down into your skull. And the blood started dripping right there in Pilate's judgment hall. The blood was shed on the cross, but it didn't just wait till it started there. It started dripping in Pilate's judgment hall. Thank God for every drop of the blood that was shed for your and my salvation and redemption. Amen. They false salute him, King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. They blasphemed. Smiting him on the head with a reed, they bow their knees in false worship. And it continues. Verse 20, when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Verse 22, they bring him into the place Golgotha, Golgotha in Hebrew, which is being interpreted the place of a skull, and sometimes it's called Calvary. There's no other place like that place.
Amen.
Because at that place is where Jesus purchased our redemption. He paid the price for that which the Father provided. The Father provided salvation and healing for every soul who will ever be born. And Jesus paid the price on that grand and glorious day. Even though it was a day of suffering, a day of agony, He paid the price for our salvation. They gave Him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but He received it not. He didn't want anything to hinder Him from going through all of what He went through for us. When they had crucified Him, they parted His garments, casting lots upon them what each man should take. This was fulfilling Psalm 22. It was the third hour, which we know as our 9 o'clock, and they crucified Him. The superscription of His accusation was written over. Now, a superscription was like a charge or a sign that they would put over the cross. This is what He's guilty of. This is what He did. You would say it like that. They had no crime to charge Him with. The only thing they could write was the King of the Jews. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And the priests and scribes and elders, they didn't even want Pilate to write that. They wanted him to write to say that he was the King of the Jews. Say that he said that, not that he really is that. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. For one time he stood up to them, and he should have stood up all along. But then if he had stood up all along, where would we be today? We'd still be lost. If he had set Jesus free, he would have gone free. But I would have been bound for eternity. I'd have been lost. If Jesus had been set free, I'd have been lost. But he was crucified. Yes. King of the Jews. With him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. This fulfilled Isaiah chapter 53. All the things that Christ went through, he fulfilled scripture, everything that he did. And they who passed by rail on him, shaking their heads and jeering, "Ah, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So the mocking and the making fun, all that continues. The chief priests and scribes join in the mockery and scoffing. "He saved others," they said. "Himself he cannot save." Well, he could have saved himself.
Yes.
He could have called 10,000 angels.
Yes.
To destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he hung on the cross for you and for me.
Yes.
He stayed there. The song said he could have come down, but he didn't. He didn't come down. Oh, no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. They could have been called to set him free, but he hung on the cross for you and for me. He could have come down, but he didn't. He saved others. Yes, he did. I know he saved others because I'm one of them. "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." Well, if he had come down from the cross, they would have seen, but they still wouldn't have believed.
Right.
Many people are waiting now to see before they believe. If I see it, I'll believe it. No, you won't see it until you believe it. You got to believe before you can see.
That's right.
If I see it, I'm not going to believe anything I can't see. Well, you never see it until you believe it. You've got to believe first. They had it all wrong. Let him come down. We may see and believe. No, you've got to believe on him for what he did for you. Jesus dead and buried. Verse 33, 34. When the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Sometimes when we have an eclipse, it'll be dark in certain places. But this was darkness over all the land, over all the world. Darkness. Son of God hanging on the cross. God himself having to turn his face away. Some people don't think God did. They think it was just a figure of speech. But you and I know differently. We know that God had to turn his face away because his Son, in that hour, he became our sin. He not only took our sin, and he did, he bore that heavy load of sin, but he actually became sin for us.
Yes.
Scripture bears that out. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin, he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became our sin. He became sick with our sickness. Darkness covers the world from the sixth to the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This fulfills Psalm 22, verse 1. The people thought he cried out for Elijah to come and take him down. One of them even tried to give him something to drink, putting vinegar on a sponge and raising it to his lips. The rest of them said, don't bother him. Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come to rescue him and take him down. It's amazing, is it not, how heathen people will believe in pagan man-made superstition, while many who profess to believe in Christ refuse to accept the real spiritual supernatural. We will accept superstition, but many times we refuse the supernatural. Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. If you and I had torn that veil in that temple, we couldn't have torn it anyway. It was real thick. But God can tear it. If you and I would have torn that veil in that temple, we would have torn it from the bottom to the top.
Yeah.
And he tore it from the top to the bottom. God does things opposite from what most people do.
Right.
He tore that thing in two. And George Bev Shea sings about it. When the veil was rent in two, God didn't wait until Jesus was resurrected to rend the veil and tear it in two. Immediately when Christ died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. It's like God is saying, I can't wait any longer. I just got to get that thing out of the way so that whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. God is chomping at the bit to bless us, to save us, to do us good. All the things that are going on in our world today is not God's fault. Many people blame God for it, but God is not the one who does it. God wants to do us good. God does not want to see America destroyed. God does not want to see Israel destroyed. God does not want to see people pine away in sickness and die. God wants to do us good. But in order for us to receive the goodness of God, we have to come back to the foundation on which our nation and our churches and our lives are built. We cannot continue to walk in darkness and expect the blessing of light. We have to come. The veil has been torn in two. Now there's clearance into the way, the Holy of Holies. You could not go into the Holy of Holies, the Old Testament. The priest couldn't even go at certain times. If you would just go in there, you'd be smitten immediately and die. But now, whosoever will may come. God, you're not coming to a physical temple. You're coming to the holy place, Jesus Christ. When the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Joseph of Arimathea obtains care of the body of Jesus, buries him in the nearby grave, and rolled a stone in front of it. So now he's buried, and he lays in the grave. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord, Thank God. Then it says, up from the grave he arose. Glory to God. Forever triumphant over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose, praise God. He lives forever today. And he is a resurrected Lord. That's why our religion is not just a religion. It has really nothing to do with religion. They had religion under the old covenant. God didn't mean for them to make a ritual religion out of it, but they did. He had a lot of things that you had to go through, but he was trying to show them that they were so sinful because God was so holy and it required all these things to be done. But our religion under the new covenant is not a religion. We refer to it as that perhaps, but it's not a religion. It's a whole lot more, a whole lot better than a religion.
Yeah.
It's a relationship.
Yeah.
We have a relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that our people and us, myself included, I trust that we all have more than a religion. If you got religion, that's enough to bug you. But if you got a relationship with God, that's enough to bless you.
Yeah.
And God wants us to have a relationship with him. He is resurrected, and he ascended to prove the power of his resurrection. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, thank God for that day that we call Easter Sunday morning, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. They looked at that thing and they was wondering among themselves, the ladies, they said, who will roll away the stone from the place for us? When they looked, glory be, that thing had been rolled away already. God's got angels who are powerful enough to come and roll that stone away.
Yeah.
And one of them did, came down from heaven, rolled the stone away. All those Roman soldiers, so big and brave, they came like dead men, fell to the ground. God allowed that grave to be opened. They said Jesus didn't have to open the grave to get out. Well, he might not have had to open it to get out, but he had to open it for me to get in. Praise be unto God. I can get in today because that stone was rolled away.
Yeah.
If that stone had not been rolled away, the scoffers would have a heyday with it. Ah, he's still in there. Stones on it. See, there it is right there, the stones in front of that grave. God made sure. He made fools out of the men, and he took the stone out of the way. Entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. He gave witness of the resurrection of Christ. They were affrighted. It's a good word for afraid. Or in Vance County, we say scared. They were scared. He said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And that's our testimony. We ought to be able to say he is risen like the early church did. To find out who was saved and who wasn't, they would say he is risen. And if you're a believer, you'd say he is risen indeed. That's the way that they had a witness to know. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. He mentions Peter's name because he knows our name individually. And he'll stop the world if he needs to call your name so you can come to him. And if you've gone away from him and drifted away, gotten cold and indifferent, he'll call your name to bring you back. He says, tell my brothers, tell my disciples and Peter that I'm alive. And I'll go before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Jesus appears to the 11 and upbraids them for their hardness of heart and unbelief, because they didn't believe those who had seen him after he was risen. He wanted them to know that he was alive, and he gave witness through several people. But they were so disappointed, so sad, it was hard for them to believe. You know, when you get down and you get depressed, and you don't even have to be depressed. You can be oppressed. and things are going on around you, some good news can come, but you find it hard to rejoice in the good news. It's good news, but you find it hard to rejoice because you're so burdened with your situation at hand. They didn't realize their sadness was over. The darkness had passed and the light had come. Weeping had endured for the night, but joy had come in the morning. And they didn't realize he was alive. Then he gives them the Great Commission and the promise of the supernatural signs which are to follow and accompany the believer. Go into all the world, he said. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. These signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out devils in my name. They will speak with new tongues. But not mock no speaking in tongues. Jesus said, you do it. The sign would follow the believers. They will take up serpents, not snakes like you pick up snakes. And Wendy Bagel was talking about. He was talking about having power over the evil one. In our dark hour in which we live, we need to realize that God has given us power over the evil one.
Yes.
If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then the Lord was received up into heaven. He sits on the right hand of God. And ever since then, his followers have been going everywhere preaching. And the Lord confirms the word with the signs following. And Mark says, amen. Because he confirms his word. God will do what he needs to do to bring the witness of the resurrection. Jesus was crucified. He did die. He was buried. And now he's alive forevermore. Praise God for our resurrected, risen, living Lord and Savior. And we love him today. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here today to study Mark chapter 15 and 16. I pray, Lord, that the resurrected Christ would live in our heart today in power and glory and resurrected. May we say with Chris Tomlin, we have resurrection power. Living on the inside, he has given us freedom. Living on the inside, we have resurrection power through the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. We are endued with power from on high. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have studied Jesus' death and resurrection. I pray that it would be a truth that would ring out to the nations of the world, that people would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a teaching session from Mark chapters 15 and 16 entitled Jesus, Death, and Resurrection. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your resurrected Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.